Me and my silly faces. Hello, everyone. Welcome, Cosmic Explorers, to another edition of Cosmic Insight. I'm your co-creator, Hillis Pugh, along with
Rebecca Gregory here. I thank everyone for joining us today for this episode of Cosmic Insight. And who's our beautiful guest today that's joining us?
We have our amazing and dear goddess friend, spiritual luminary Victoria Reynolds. And here today we have a treat for you, because not only is she going to catch us up on current events, but she's also going to tell us about her new class, where she is talking about curing your money disease. Woo. Now, I know, right? What's that about? And so, you know, we all have money issues or money something, you know, whether if it's a lack of or too much, but, you know, you can never have too much money, because money's a tool. And it's how you utilize that tool and how you allow yourself to bring it in and connect to it to really serve you, because that's ultimately what it is, you know. Because I even had a meditation about it this morning that was real interesting, but save that for later. But without further ado, let's welcome in our dear sister Victoria.
Good morning, Hillis and Rebecca. So good to see the two of you again.
Good morning,
good
Victoria.
Good morning, and welcome. So, Victoria, I know that you and I share the same space on Ascended Masters, where we are sharing, you know, our wealth of knowledge and classes with everyone with the Ascended Master store. And can you tell us a little bit more about your amazing class that's curing your money disease?
Yeah, so I came up with this about a year ago. I was talking with April and Jay, and they had me on their show, and I started talking about growing a money tree. So I have a money tree. Actually, I have several money trees that I have growing in my etheric field. And I use them as a way of being able to see what's happening with my money, like where I need to put more attention, if something is growing, if there's an issue, where that issue is. And I had told Jay that morning, I said, it's interesting because my money tree today is black and usually it's gold. And I said, it's like it has a fungus or something. And he was so fascinated by that, because then I tuned in and I said, why is my money tree black? And what I was being shown is that it was because I was angry at my ex-husband, my wedding, I call him. So I was in the middle of a divorce. And I was angry with him about something, and I don't even remember what it was, because we had a very amicable divorce. We had what we call a conscious divorce. It was very easy and drama-free and very conscious and inexpensive because of the way we chose to do it. But I was upset with him about something, and the anger I was feeling toward him had actually created a blight on my money tree. And so when I was talking to Jay about a month ago, he said, well, why don't you do something on Ascended Master so you can explain to people, you know, how this works? And I said, okay. And I really sat down and I had created this 6D money tree program that tells everybody everything about how to grow money trees. But Jay wanted something specific that his audience or the Ascended Masters could use that's easier and a little bit less expensive than the entire 60 money tree program. So I sat down with that and I came up with this whole program to show people what these different diseases are. And it's not necessarily what you would think of as not so much about beliefs about money themselves, but how the way we're experiencing life, how that affects our prosperity. So as I was saying, this anger I was feeling toward my husband was actually affecting my prosperity.
Yeah. I mean, and that makes a lot of sense. And thank you for sharing that little bit of story. And as you were speaking, you know, this is always reoccurring for me, you know, when I think about, you know, my personal finance situation. You know, there was a time when I was actually, and there's two very specific examples. There's a time when I was in second grade, I believe. And, you know, coming from, you know, middle class family and or somewhat middle class. And there was a day I went to school and I discovered I had a hole in the bottom of my shoe. And that made me feel really bad. And so, you know, there was like these, and that was like the root mm-hmm. of everything that came after. It's like, oh man, well, you know, I have this wrong and then that wrong and then going through life. And then there was a time when, you know, getting ready to go to preparing to go to college, you know, I couldn't afford it. I'm like, oh man, I can't go because, you know, my mom didn't do this or there's no money for that. And so it's like all those little instances. And I'm like, wait, that's connected to how I feel about money now. Mm-hmm. And so you're right. I mean, it's not always that direct link. It's always something that's a roundabout way of getting to it.
Right. You know, and the other thing, and here's another example. This is actually, and this particular one isn't. I came up with this one after I created the program, so I'll share it here. Mm-hmm. And it's one that I was shown just a couple of weeks ago called Grief Leaf. Mm. And I tuned into my money tree and the leaves were all just wilted. And I asked, what's that? And what I was told is grief leaf. And I was grieving over a conversation I'd had with my daughter because my daughter and I had a discussion about the arm jab and why I'm not participating in that. And she thinks that makes me a horrible person because I'm not doing what's best for all of humanity, which of course we know is a false narrative. But and then she's like, I'm never going to talk to you again because we can't. And I went into grief. Mm-hmm. And then I realized the grief I was feeling about the conversation with her was again affecting my prosperity. And what had happened from that is I lost any desire to do any work. I was like, I didn't have any energy. I was in this grief. And so my money tree was also all wilty.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's important to recognize it's not just our beliefs about money. It's how we're moving through life, how what we're experiencing and how we're perceiving our life experience affects our prosperity.
And from what I'm hearing, Victoria, this is so great. Of what comes to me as you're explaining this, this process that you started is kind of like the monitor of our heart and the joy in our heart is affecting, like having that open heart, you open to receive. But when you bring all these other factors, life factors into that place and close that open heart and that space down, it shuts down that energy to create that abundance.
Exactly. Yeah. So there are the what I call fear-based beliefs about money, mm-hmm. which is, and those are specific to money. I don't have enough. There's not enough to go around. Money will make me look like a bad person. The list is a mile long. And a lot of that stuff we picked up when we were kids. So like Hillary, mm-hmm. you were saying about the hole at the bottom of your shoe, that started a whole entire narrative about not having enough money. Mm-hmm. So there are those beliefs that are really obvious and apparent, but it's the subtle aspects of what's happening in our life presently that have nothing to do with money that affect our prosperity. And just like you were saying, Rebecca, it's a heart thing. Mm-hmm. And when the heart starts being constricted, it doesn't allow that flow in.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it's beautiful too, the process that you're explaining and everything. It kind of keeps you very mindful and keeping yourself in check all the time of kind of where you are and what's going on in your world. And, you know, just example with the grief that you were feeling, you know, keeping yourself, oh, I've had this experience. Oh, that's why I'm feeling this way right now, you know, and knowing those little situations open up to create that in our world, which we don't always look at all the time because we think mm-hmm. it always has to be some big, huge thing, you know, and mm-hmm. it doesn't.
Yeah. And I had one that came in this morning. This one isn't necessarily one of the diseases, but I tuned in. Mm-hmm. I had a conversation with Saint Germain about my prosperity. I said, so what's happening with my prosperity mm-hmm. and the prosperity on the planet? He didn't get to the planet. He was like, look, leaders don't waste their time on social media. I got a little bit of a chewing out this morning. It was time is a very precious gift and use it as it's a precious gift.
Thank you for that so much.
Such a relief. You know,
how many people waste that precious gift doing needless, mindless things? And I got reminded of that this morning, that when I'm here this this is good, this conversation we're happening, because every one of these conversations actually help to light up the world. Mm-hmm. But there's a difference between teaching on social media and just wasting time on social media. So I kind of got tuned out this morning for wasting my time, because it's precious. And we
you get caught up on that loop on social media. We're scrolling 2 hours later. Like, oh my God, what
And it's amazing. I can go on and write one post and a half hour later. It feels like it was intended to just suck the life out of your mind.
I try to do my best to focus on my intent. It's like, if I have a message, put out the message, share the message where it needs to be shared, and then hop off. Sometimes it works that way, sometimes it doesn't. But what I want to talk to you about, what came up in my mind, which I think is really fascinating and in flow with where we're going with this, is that, you know, moments ago you talked about your grief leave, and, you know, which results, you know, in lack of motivation or lack of wanting to do anything, and which affects the abundance, the prosperity that's coming in. So my question to you is, when, especially now on the planet now, that we are in this time of transformation, there's this time, you know, even with myself, where this is lack of motivation, or what we feel or think is lack of motivation, which is actually a respite, if mm-hmm. you will. And in that time, is how should we be treating this space of lack of motivation or having this rest period when it comes to wanting to have and attract more abundance and wealth into our energy field?
Well, I think it's really important. One of the diseases that I talk about in the program is, I think I call it weight wart. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important for people to decipher the difference between just being in peace and being in the present moment and waiting, because they're two different things. Mm-hmm. And people have wasted away their entire lifetimes waiting for something else to happen. So are you waiting? Are you procrastinating? Or are you just being in the present, in the presence, and allowing life to unfold? So really need to get really clear on that, because if we're just waiting, nothing's ever going to happen, because we're the ones we're waiting for.
Yeah, I like that, because, and I guess too, people have to really go within and trust their inner knowing to really decipher what it is. If, right. you know, like you just said, are they truly procrastinating, or are they truly at peace with what is happening? You right. know, I can say personally that I've been having a mix of both emotions, because I've always been a doer. And so when I have these moments of being, it's like,
what am I supposed to
be? Yeah.
Right. And again, it comes back to, I'm being reminded again, the message that came in this morning, that time is a very precious thing. And so mm-hmm. how are we honoring time? It's not about using time. I think that's part of the misperceptions. How are you using your time? Well, we don't want to waste it, but how are we honoring it? And so one of the things that I try to do is continually ask myself what's best and what's next. Mm-hmm. What's best and what's next. And sometimes what's next is to sit down and work on a book. Sometimes mm-hmm. what's next is to go for a walk on the beach. Sometimes what's next is to go pull weeds out of my garden. Sometimes what's next is to record a video. So that the time is always being used to its highest and greatest potential as the gift that it is, rather than sitting and waiting. And I tell you what, I almost never watch TV, but sometimes the response is, watch a movie. Well, okay. So, but it's about sitting and always being in tune and asking what's best in that moment. Mm. Because if we don't do that, then time can just run away with us. And we'll end up, like I said, 2 hours later on social media, and then the book that we wanted to write, this is my case, didn't get written, because I'm not honoring time for the gift
that
it is.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Do you think there's a balance between, you're talking about the waiting and not doing, in that sitting back, sometimes though we have to, in somewhat wait for things to be put together. I always think of the universe as like a timeline of a puzzle, where sometimes when we're on our journey, if we jump ahead and grab something too fast, like the beauty that was supposed to be put together isn't completely put together. Does that make sense? So is there a way to like take action and keep that mindfulness of what you're waiting for, but allow it to be put together? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, so there's time for being and time for doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the key with the action, though, is divinely inspired action. Mm-hmm. That's why it's asking what's best and what's next. Then it's divinely inspired. There's all the difference in the world between hard work and heart work.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in that heart space, then the work isn't hard and it's inspired.
Exactly.
If we're like pushing ourselves to do something and it doesn't feel right, then that's not the best thing for us to be doing at that particular time. And then the other thing is to sit with that and say, why am I not getting this done? Is it because the timing isn't right, or is it because there's something inside of me that's afraid to move forward?
Mm-hmm.
Is it procrastination, or is it divine timing? We've got to get really good at being able to ask ourselves that, you know, and a lot of people don't. They just go through life doing what they should do, rather than just sitting and really listening to what inspiration has to say about that particular moment, because it can be spurts. It could be a couple of days of what feels like doing nothing, but you're actually being downloaded with inspiration about what mm-hmm. to do next. And then sometimes it's like getting all kinds of stuff done because
yes.
that energy is up and it's time to get things done. And to trust that, but it's also about sitting with it and asking yourself, am I waiting for somebody else to fix this? Am I waiting for the GCR to happen before I do anything? Am I waiting for the next president? Am I waiting for a savior to come in and save me? What is it that, or am I sitting and being in the present and feeling spirit guide me with mm-hmm. what's next and what's the best use of my time?
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that information. It really makes a lot of sense and hits home. So thank you.
And we need to do both. The being is the divine feminine working with us, and doing mm-hmm. is the divine masculine working with us. And we need to have a balance of both. That's why people who just do get burned out, and people who just be don't get anything done.
Yeah,
it's all about the balance. It's always right. about the balance.
Yeah, I love that. And it's interesting because I did a meditation this morning, and I was telling Rebecca before we got on air that I was going through this from yesterday to this morning, even still now presently, still in this cycle of releasing and receiving, releasing and receiving, releasing and receiving. And as I'm speaking to you, this vision won't leave my head, so I have to express this. And it's this vision of having, and it's money falling down all around me. And I'm like, I haven't had this one before. This is new. and so I guess I just wanted to express that, but then moving into that is that when we have these visions, when we have this higher guidance, if you will, of what we want our prosperity to look like, or how tool as a money can assist us. And so I guess I want more what your perception is about money, the energy of money, because most people abuse it. Most people misunderstand it. Most people just don't get it at all because they are just living in the old belief system of, well, here's money, just, you know, do whatever with it.
Well, yeah, because people aren't taught the gift that money is. We have so many beliefs about money floating around that, and those beliefs actually prevent people from receiving them. And, you know, and those beliefs were created intentionally to keep money only in the hands of the people who presently control it. And because people aren't taught when they're really young what a gift money is and how to use it consciously, mm-hmm. then they don't, you know, it has been used to enslave humanity, but that's not what it's intended for. It's actually a gift from the earth herself. It's actually intended to be used as a reciprocation for gratitude. It's a physical form of gratitude, but it's not being used that way. It's being used in fear and control. But it's up to us to change our perspective about it. As we change our own vibration about it, it changes how it's used. And the new money that's coming, and I was shown this 10 years ago, that this new money that's coming, that we know is coming, it's that flood of rain shower that you just saw with the money flooding, right? And that it's coded a higher vibration than the current money. The present money is coded at a 3D vibration. So those who are in greed have the ability to manage it and control it. But this new money that's coming is coded at a 5D vibration. So we have to raise our vibration up to be able to receive it. That it's not going to flood to those who have been using it for greed and control, because they can't raise their vibration up to receive it. We, the masses, need to lift ourselves up to be able to be in the same frequency as this prosperity.
Oh, beautiful. Hella, she had a little technical difficulties. Everything's falling off the wall. My drum fell off the wall right before Hillis's screen's falling down. What's going on here?
Hello.
It's spirit.
Talking out loud.
Well, I'm using my green screen for the first time. I just got it yesterday. And I told you earlier, it's actually a blue screen, because the green screen looks really funky with my backdrop and it makes my hair look green. But I noticed when I do this, it doesn't work well. I need to keep my hands down to myself.
You have a beautiful aura. It's just showing that beautiful aura of yours.
Thank you.
And this is going to be the rest of the show.
I think it's fabulous.
No, and you know what I love about this, and I've talked about this before, that one of the gifts of COVID was that people started becoming less judgmental about seeing other people on camera. So before that, it was like, oh my gosh, you're not professional. Now people, because everyone's on camera now, they get it. Oh, look, there's a person's dog, a person's cat, the green screen fell, the street cleaners drove past, the alarm went off in the car. I mean, we've become so
it's
much
life.
It's just being authentic
because of that. So it's fine.
Yeah. It's being authentic and who you are and your world around you. So I know I love doing that, watching, like, I don't, you know, like the not newscasters, because I don't watch the news, but the talk show hosts and stuff that used to be all dressed up in a nice suit and everything. And then during COVID, you know, they're in their garage doing stuff in their t-shirt and like, oh, I've had enough of this. But it was great watching that relaxation of opening up, that getting out of all that mindset we put around the image of being professional.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then letting go of this belief of having to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and moments ago, you expressed so beautifully that the money is a gift from Mother Earth herself and the energy of gratitude. And that sentence alone speaks volumes to the energy that's coming because of how we allow ourselves to respond and to receive what it is that we want for ourselves. And can you just go a little bit more in depth with that for those who are watching, because they may not really understand, you know, well, how is money from a gift from Mother Earth? And if that's a gift from Mother Earth, how come I'm not getting that gift? And so, you know, it's, you know, I just want people to really clearly understand that their vibration, their thoughts, their beliefs, you know, play a role in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we block our own flow. So the way that, now, not necessarily the fake money, which is just ones and zeros going back and forth between people's checking accounts, but money when it was originally created, which there were coins.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there were coins that were traded back and forth as gratitude for services rendered. If we go back to that very basic truth that it's gratitude for services rendered. So when we would receive a product from someone, we would give them a coin in gratitude for the product that we received from them. Mm-hmm. when we can still use that same mindset, like when we pay our bills, I'm grateful I have the ability to pay for my electricity. I'm grateful for the electricity and this money that I'm paying as a token of gratitude for the electricity for my home. And that's a completely different way to go about something as basic as paying our bills. Mm-hmm. And when we do everything with a mindset and with a heart of gratitude, it actually opens us up to receive more. It's pretty much impossible to be in complaining and gratitude. They can't mm-hmm. exist in the same space. So if we're complaining while we're paying our bills, that's the energy that's being infused into it. That's actually blocking us from receiving more. So the more we can find a way to express gratitude throughout our day, the more we open ourselves up to receive more of what it is to be grateful for.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, I love that you put the history with that. And anyone who knows me has been following me, I can talk about gratitude all day. and so it is in this space, in this vein, where I am having this new perspective, you know, because I always understood, you know, the energy of gratitude, the energy of appreciation, and expressing that through one of my practices called a thank you rampage, where it's either done in meditation or done in the shower, where you offer thanks for what you have. And with that energy of expressing thanks, you're not only giving thanks for what you have, but you're also allowing yourself to be open to what is to come. And it is that in which we are truly honoring, because there is only the now. And when you are expressing gratitude and appreciation for the now is always now, 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 and so forth. And so it just allows us to be more mindful. And I think that's, you know, the message here is for us to be more mindful of really understanding that, you know, money isn't just this haphazard energy. It's not just this piece of paper that's manipulated. It's more than that. And so a lot of people in our community in the beginning of their craft and doing this work, we were always told that you should, you know, charge, do your services for free, or you shouldn't charge more than this, or mm-hmm. you shouldn't do more. So it's like, and in that, it was this energy of limitation.
Right.
So is there any information or any advice you can give those who are watching now, that people like us that are still in that old belief system as an energy practitioner, to release that system? Because we are needed much more on the planet now and this time than any other time in life. So if for you to limit yourself now, you're only limiting your potential.
Right. Well, I think one thing to remember is that money is a renewable resource, and there is no shortage of it. It's like trees are a renewable resource, and energy is a renewable resource. The only resource that isn't renewable is time, mm-hmm. which is why it's such a precious gift, every drop of it. And when we understand that money is a renewable resource and that it cycles, it cycles through as part of the law of circulation, that we circulate it. It comes and it circulates and we use it, and to not have so many attachments to how it has to be limited. See, one of the reasons that the people who have the most amount of money have it is because they don't have any issues of whether they deserve it or not. Mm-hmm. And whether their time is worth it or not. They don't have those issues that a lot of us grew up with, these issues of unworthiness. It's our own mm-hmm. beliefs of unworthiness that prevent the prosperity from flowing to us. And quite frankly, the planet needs us to have money.
Yeah. To do all the good that we're going to do.
Are the ones who we need to flip those scripts entirely and understand we deserve it.
Yes.
Because we would know what to do with it.
Yeah.
We're worthy of it because we are sons and daughters of the all that is. And we're all princes and princesses of the divine. Like, you know, and love that we are cherished in that way, and that we are meant to have this prosperity, that the and to be completely comfortable with asking to be reciprocated for our services. And that's, you know, and in the spiritual community, there's this narrative that's been thrown around for decades. And I really think this is to keep people from raising their vibration into what they're truly capable of by telling people not to charge for spiritual services, mm-hmm. or to charge less for spiritual services, as if my time is less valuable than someone else's time.
You know,
as if going to an energy healer is any less valuable than going to a doctor. Mm-hmm. But don't think twice about paying a doctor $300 an hour. Right. But they won't pay an energy healer $300 an hour.
Right.
You expect to get that for free. But I think that narrative was created by the dark side, if you will, specifically mm-hmm. to keep people from raising their vibration and moving into higher energetic aspects within themselves. So we all have to get out of that narrative. Yeah. We have to stop seeing everything in the spiritual community or in the healing community as being worth less than, yeah. you know, people wouldn't think twice about dropping $200 on a new dress.
Mm-hmm.
But
shoes.
Or a pair of shoes, but then investing in themselves somehow isn't seen as worth as much.
Yeah.
That's actually an issue of their own issues of unworthiness.
Yes,
yeah, exactly.
So if they really saw their true worth, they would see that they are more worthy of investing in than some material thing that just sits in their closet and never gets worn.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
False external facade.
And that's such a beautiful message that needs to get out there. And Victoria, I have to jump off right now because I had another appointment. So I wanted to thank you for joining today for the show. And you and Hillers are going to finish the show up. So it's been a pleasure and honor once again. And I so appreciate the work you do and the light that you shine on this planet to help all of us raise up to a higher level. So thank you. I honor
thank you.
You.
It's wonderful to see you again.
Okay, sounds great. Continue on.
And so, you know, and I'm glad that you mentioned all of that. And as you was speaking about this, I couldn't help but to think about how religion played into all of this. You know, because when you go, and this really just irks me, and I don't know how you feel about this, but when you are, you know, promoting your service on a website, you know, well, you know, or marketing yourself, and you always see religion and spirituality lumped together. And do you feel in some way that it's that marrying of the two, where people may have their belief about our worth as energy healers mixed up with, well, you know, if I go to church on Sunday and if I tithe 10% of, you know, whatever to the church or whatever I put in the offering, that's enough. And so I should treat my energy healer or my spiritual coach or my spiritual therapist or my spiritual what have you the same way.
No, because this is actually our work.
Yeah.
This is our job. And I don't think people understand that. Sure, you can go to church and get preached at for an hour and pay 10%, but this is different. This is our work. This is one-on-one consultation. And I'm pretty sure if you had a one-on-one consultation with your minister, they wouldn't just sit there and help you heal your body for free. It's like going to the doctor and asking the doctor, oh, doctor, can I just give you 10% of what you charge everyone else because I feel like that's all I want to pay.
Yeah.
Just give me everything for free and I'll give you a little $20 tip for the hour of your time.
Exactly.
And here's, it's funny that you bring that up because in my first edition of Transcending Fear on the inside cover, actually, where did I put that? It's a quote that was given to me by spirit when I had my spiritual awakening. And it is, that religion and spirituality are like peanut butter and honey. I think I put peanut butter and honey. I don't know if I put what the quote was. They've been sandwiched together for so long, most people don't know the difference.
Yeah.
So I think I peanut butter and honey. So so you might like peanut butter, but not honey. So you take the sandwich and separate it and realize, oh, religion is peanut butter, spirituality is honey. I just happen to see it that way because for me, spirituality is so much sweeter than religion. Yeah. And really understand they're two very different things. Now, the way that the law of tithing works, and that's there's really a misperception about that. The law of tithing just says to give 10% to your spiritual teacher, whoever that is. It might be your it might be a spiritual teacher, but it isn't 10% of your entire income to one specific person. It's if you feel inspired by this person, it's that tip, right? The tip jar kind of thing. Then because you received a gift, it's a gift of reciprocation for the spiritual teaching. But the spiritual teaching is different than energy work.
Yeah.
That's what people don't understand. You're using your one-on-one energy, and we have to recharge afterwards because it does use our energy. It's like, yeah. That would be like going to massage therapist and saying, thank you for that wonderful massage. Here's 10 bucks. is going and getting the massage and only giving them a tip and not actually paying for their service.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah. So we need to, and this is about the healers and the teachers themselves to understand that their time is just as valued as any other practitioner's time.
Yeah.
Just because we're an energy practitioner doesn't mean our time is worth any less than a physical practitioner.
Yeah.
And we have to get out of our own way with that.
Yeah. And I love that you brought all these comparisons in. And I know I'm going to have to go back and rewatch this with all these little tidbits and gems in this, because it's filled with so much. And you just brought to my mind, because one of the things that, on my medicine journey that I did in September, one of the things that my shaman expressed to me said, back home where I'm from, I am considered a doctor. And I'm like, I guess that makes so much sense now, because, thinking about all of my path over the past 10 years of me doing what I do, started out as a poet and started out as talking about and teaching about gratitude and the law of vibration and teaching people in that way and healing them with words, and then moving into my psychic mediumship and guiding people from that space, and then moving into me being an energy facilitator and bringing in this energy to assist people. And so the journey in itself is one of, I guess I can consider myself, dare I say, an energy doctor? I mean, come on, let's be real with it. I mean, it's gotten to a point where you're doing psychic surgery on people and doing soul fragmentation and all these amazing things that we do. But when it comes to us reciprocating what we deserve, it's the collective belief around that somehow are connected to, which in turn we limit ourselves. So wouldn't you say that if we reconstruct the collective belief,
right,
and assist them in truly understanding the value of our time, because time is a commodity that, as you mentioned earlier, is a commodity that is spent and cannot be regained unless, you get some sort of fancy time machine and go back in time, but we're not there yet. But I mean, it's just in that vein of energy to reconstruct the collective thought around this.
Yeah, and I think what a lot of people don't understand is that what we do is disease prevention.
Yes.
And that, so if people don't go to a doctor until they're sick, generally, I mean, some people do go as a preventative, but What we do is help people heal the whole vessel as well. So we assist with prevention, but unlike the medical field, which only focuses on the physical vessel, we work on the whole being, mind, body, heart, and spirit.
Yeah.
And if any aspect of the whole being is being left out of the treatment isn't effective. That's why people go to the doctor and their body gets healed, but then the same issue keeps coming back around and around and around because they haven't actually dealt with the cause, which a lot of times is involved with spiritual psychology, or there's a trauma that's unresolved, or there's a karma that's been unresolved. That's stuff that the medical field can't work with, but yeah, it's something that a lot of us are trained to do. And so people really need to understand that what we do is work with the whole being, and right, they're not going to get that in the traditional field of medicine.
Right. And so then you just reminded me of when my aunt, when she was ill, and how many specialists that she had to see. You know, you had the kidney specialist, then you had the liver specialist, then you had the heart specialist, then you had this specialist. I'm like, why do you see all these specialists? And so, you know, when you see somebody, you know, like a medical medium or a medical intuitive or someone that, you know, the work that we do, we can scan the full energy system, whether it's, you know, the auric field and the chakra system, the meridian system, all the way down to the DNA, to the structure of the mind, the heart, the emotional body, the energy body, all the different layers. And people often wonder why and how we're able to do what we do is because, one, we have permission to do so from you, and then two, it's because we allow ourselves to be fully present, to sit with you and create this space that is nurturing for all the different facets of the person. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right in all of this.
Yeah. And people need to, it's getting better. Start, yes, to understand the value of working with the whole being, and practitioners really need to stand in their value and say, look, what I do is just as valuable as anything anybody else does.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what's interesting is that people are now wanting to pay that, mm-hmm, to step into, well, what is my health worth? What is my investment worth? What is me feeling better worth, you know? Right. And it's having those tough conversations with yourself as a person. And then, you know, when you have that person in front of you, when you are working with, when the person is working with someone like us, an energy healer, it's, you have to have that tough conversation sometimes and be able to be open to receive what is being received. I mean, it's all tangible until it's not, until the person isn't open. And I don't know, it's just amazing to right now see this, the tilt, not a shift, but a shift, not a tilt.
Yeah, it's a complete shift in consciousness.
Yeah.
And it started, you know, about 10 years ago and has been growing. And it's really getting to the point now where people understand it. And, you know, and I was just thinking about, for example, the courses that I have on my website and the teaching that I do. And, mm-hmm, and it took me a while to even get to the point where because I had severe issues of unworthiness, which is one of the reasons I can talk about, mm-hmm, severe issues of unworthiness. And that, and you were, the comparison between going to church and having a minister preach at them for an hour, one, a lot of times they preach guilt, which actually defeats everything because guilt actually feeds those issues of unworthiness and, yeah, makes them feel even worse about themselves. So,
yeah,
you have a minister that does that, stop going to that church. But so I was thinking about the difference between going and listening to someone for a half hour for free or comparing it to example, this course that I've created, and it's only $44.44. It's not like it's a ton of money. That's like lunch, you know.
Yeah.
Life with my kids, that's $50. But the difference is the amount of work that I put into creating that. So it's just like going and listening to something for 44 minutes. I actually created a slideshow that goes with it. And I recommend people have a notebook and pen when they take this course, because it's there. I'm bringing up a whole lot of stuff for people to think about. They will want to treat it like an actual course and write down the prompts that come with this program. They're not going to do that in a half hour at church.
Yeah. And you know, and I like that you said that, because, you know, I've talked about this before with other people. And that's what people seldom don't see, is the manufacturing, the download, the creation of this product, because that's ultimately what it is. It's, you know, in layman's terms, it's a product. It's a course. It's something that's going to be of service to you. You know, just like for me, when I did the activation, you know, it took me maybe about, I don't know how long, to really decipher the tools to use, what programs to use, to what energy frequency to connect to broadcast out. So, I mean, even, you know, so it doesn't matter what it is.
Right.
Yet again, we go back to the time that
And it's not like we just sit and record a video and charging, you know, $100 for a video. Even so, like my 60 Money Tree program, it's $197, and I have people who have complained about, why is it so expensive? It took me months. It's a compilation of years of research of my own experience, but it took me months to create this program. But the recordings and the visualizations and the homework assignments and it took me months of work to create it. So it's not like it's just, and it's 9 modules. It's a big program.
Yeah.
And if people take it seriously, it's a life altering program, because I don't just talk about money. I talk about all of these principles that I teach, as in this conversation we're having today. The principles I teach just aren't about money. It's about life.
Yeah. And I think that's the missing point. You know, when people seek out someone like us.
Yeah.
You know, they seek out someone who can resolve a symptom. You know, just like, might as well go to a doctor if you're going to resolve a symptom.
Exactly. But we get to the cause.
Yeah. And I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, you come to someone like you or I, who's been doing this for at least 10 or more years. We don't look at symptoms. We look at symptoms to follow the cause.
Right.
And if it leads us all the way back to the time you were born, then so be it. You know,
or previous lifetime.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's just in that vein to where now I feel that we are garnering the respect that we are as energy practitioners, as facilitators, as healers, as mediums, you know, and you know, it's just amazing to be here now in this time. But I know that we are running out of time, and I want to get to just a few questions about the collective. And I know that earlier you mentioned you had a conversation with Saint Germain about you, but can you provide us with any tidbits about the prosperity for the collective coming in? Because I know that people have been expressing, it's like, oh yeah, after February 22nd, there's going to be this massive energy opening and preparing us to enter into March with this amazing new energy of prosperity, or this amazing new energy of opportunities. So can you offer any insight into that, my dear?
Well, my team doesn't give me dates. They never have.
Okay.
It's all about vibration. Mm-hmm. And this is what people really need to understand, that the money, and it's been frustrating. I've actually asked my team about this before, because they've been saying for years, the money will flow when enough people raise up their vibration to receive it. I'm like, but the money coming would actually help to raise up people's vibration. on, right? And they're like, no, people need to raise their vibration in order to receive it. They're not going to lower the vibration of the prosperity because they don't want it getting into the hands of the wrong people.
Yeah.
So we have to figure out how to raise our vibration up to be able to receive it. That's why I created these programs. And that's what the work that you do too is about helping people. Gratitude is the surest way to, it's a rocket ship up. You know, that's why you and I both talk about it so much. But the prosperity will come when enough of us get into the space of gratitude.
Yeah.
And here's what's really interesting, and when enough of us get into the heart space. And one of the things that's happening is the trucker convoy. And look at what that is creating. It is, people are dancing, they're helping each other out. It started out being a protest, but it's really has started to turn into a love fest.
Yeah, and that's what we need more of on this planet, more love fest.
The more of that we do, the faster the money will show up. Yeah. It's not going to show up while we're in complaining and wishful thinking and how terrible things are. It's going to show up because we've lifted ourselves up enough to be able to be in the coherence with it that it arrives.
Yeah, it's very important. And this is one of the things that that Rebecca and I often talk about. It doesn't matter what side you choose. It doesn't matter.
What side is your illusion anyway?
Right. And so the thing that matters is how you feel. And if you are hating on the other side or in fearful of the other side, you know, it doesn't matter what side you're on, it's just going to keep the vibration where it is. But if you allow yourself to step into the space of acceptance, of accepting the other person where they are, meeting them where they are, and just embracing, you know, the other person's opinions or beliefs, and being the neutral observer from that, you're going to raise your own personal vibration and then raise the vibration of those around you. I mean, it's just that simple.
Right. Absolutely. And I know that, I think that's one of the things I talk about in the Cure Your Money Disease program, is that anytime we hold againstness toward anyone else and ourselves, we actually block our own flow.
Yeah.
So we have to get out of any kind of blame, anger, resentment toward anybody else and toward ourselves. Primarily toward ourselves, because anytime we hold any aspect of ourselves in againstness, and this is about the ego too, because there are a lot of people who are told how bad the ego is. And so they have less hating on themselves and not understanding that that's actually one of the worst things you can do for yourself, is to hate any aspect of ourselves.
Yeah.
And the hate that we're projecting toward anybody else actually blocks our own flow.
Yeah. So
if we want the money to come, we have to get out of our own way.
Yeah. Stop hating and start loving.
Yeah. And have these love fests, right?
You know, and there was I was in a very powerful meditation this morning, moving energies, as I talked about earlier. And the phrase came to me that I posted on my Facebook and social media today, which is not time wasting. It was time inspiring,
right.
Which was in stillness we rise. And I feel that's very important, because mm-hmm. in that moment of stillness, we allow ourselves to be more than the observer. We allow ourselves to connect to all there is. And in that connection, we can and do often rise from that space.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Victoria, my dear, other than the classes that you have on Ascended Masters, is there anything else upcoming that we should be aware of? Anything new coming down the pike for you?
Actually, yes.
Ooh. You just lit up with that one.
Yeah, it's still gestating, but what I was shown a couple of days ago by my team is that I need to start teaching a class about dispelling the darkness.
Oh, I might have to join you for that one.
Yeah. It's going to be a weekly class, and I'm going to pick a subject each week. This is something that 10 years ago I was terrified of. So I was first shown about 10 years ago that I'm here to take on religion. I was like, oh, that hurts. Like that
sounds like Neil.
That's too scary. And then I started to realize that's exactly why I need to teach these classes. Now, this isn't about making religion bad. People need to understand that. It's about taking a look at how the dogma has been used to hold humanity in fear, how symbology has been used to hold humanity in fear, how a lot of this has worked like spells to keep humanity under a spell. So a perfect example is the spell that was being thrown around last year was for the greater good. That's a spell. And that's why the media does the mockingbird media, right? It's a spell that they're putting us under. And a lot of our religious dogma is a spell that it's held people under. You know, one of the biggest spells ever been told humanity is that love of money is the fruit of all evil, or right. And spell. So, and it's going to be more than that because I'm learning how the dark side has used these unconscious spells and programming to keep us under control. So I'm going to be teaching a class about that. And when it first came to me, I was like, no, that's way too scary. Why me? And the response that came in was because I was so afraid. That's exactly why I need to teach it. Because 10 years ago, I was terrified of sacred geometry because of the way I grew up. I had no idea there was a difference between sacred geometry and evil signs and symbols. I thought they were all the same because I was raised to believe all these. I couldn't even look at a five-pointed star without my heart going ballistic. I would go into so much fear just even talking about.
Oh, wow. And well, you can definitely count me in for a week or more.
And I started getting the guidance. I actually brought a couple of books that talk about how the Illuminati programs people. And I'm going to be teaching people how to dispel the darkness.
Yeah, well, I'm down if you ever want to, you know, because honestly, when you said that, I just like, whoop, wanted to jump through the screen. I'm like,
And it's dismantling it. Because one of the things that I started being shown about a couple of months ago is it's time to put the divine masculine and the divine feminine back on the mantle and take all of our false idols off the mantle. And this is also about dismantling the darkness. So there are these different words, but our words have been used. One of the things I was shown a few years ago is how we use wordplay and how the meaning of our words have been changed so they no longer hold the original vibration that they had, and how our symbols have been used and manipulated by the dark, so they no longer hold the original vibration they were intended to have. Yeah. So that's what this class is going to be. I'm calling it Freedom Warriors Academy or something like that. I don't know yet, but it is about dispelling the darkness. And what I was told is that it's now time. Humanity is now ready to go full board, engage, and because we have to engage in getting it done. So
awesome. That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I honor your time and presence today, Madame Victoria.
Thank you. Likewise.
And you guys can definitely go to Victoria Reynolds' website to check her out, check out all her courses. And then you can also visit the link in the description to purchase her Curing Your Money Disease course on ascendedmasters.store. And all the information will be there. And you guys, until next week, we're going to have an amazing day, amazing week, amazing month, amazing time. Thank you for your presence. And everyone, keep exploring. Mm-hmm.